Blog Talk. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Join us tonight for another hour of light dinner-style discussion and learning as we nosh on current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can join us by going online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started tonight as we introduce our diners for tonight's cafe. Robin?
Hey. Thank you, Gloria. That was wonderful. Good evening, everyone. And, go ahead and pull up a chair, and we're just going to get ready to start noshing on all kinds of good things. We'll be getting our appetizers going here real quick. Let's go ahead and introduce ourselves. Jamie, will you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, I'm Jamie Trujillo. Friend of Robin's from Holbrook, Arizona.
Way back
in the high school days. And I'm a tattoo artist. I have a shop up here in Seattle, Washington, called Crow Home. I've been tattooing for about 25 years, and shop's been here about 14. And I would like to contribute, so here I am. I'm kind of hungry, so what was that appetizer?
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get to the appetizers in a second. Yeah, Jamie actually is one of our media guys. He loves to read the newspaper and just kind of keep us up on all the current events, so we'd love to have him come on
what's
in and
sit
down.
What's left of the newspapers,
the
by
stuff.
The way.
Yeah, yeah, what's left. Or, well, you know, it's online and all that good stuff,
it's
too.
It's kind of sad.
Gloria.
I don't get online a lot.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Okay. Miss Gloria, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Gloria, and I am here this evening to add to the evening's conversation, and I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
So
and
Robin,
I am Robin.
Robin?
Yes.
Tell me about you.
Okay. Robin Misevich, a force by day, I'm a spiritual seeker and terror by night. I'm a mom of two kids and just an entrepreneur and all kinds of wonderful things. And really love to get the spiritual perspective on things and have things be looking from a lot of different perspectives so we can really appreciate what's happening along with helping people to get the information that they need so we can be moving forward in positive ways. So that's one reason why we ultimately wanted to create the Transformation Cafe. It's a way of transforming and eating food at the same time. Huh? Okay, life is good. So look at our appetizers tonight. Yeah. I don't know. We've got those. We've got the super nachos, which we had last week, which were very yummy. And we've got the artichoke cheese dip, which is always really a favorite. And then we have the garlic mushroom shrimp tonight. So any of those sound good to you guys?
You know,
Jamie's liking the shrimp. Okay.
Yeah.
Last week I had a Chile Relleno burrito.
Oh, okay, okay. We can do the teeny tiny burrito. That's very good. Okay. How about the shrimp? I think we should do the shrimp and the burrito. I'm feeling kind of hungry, and then both of those sound pretty yummy. So there we go. We'll go ahead and maybe even get a little carafe of wine going. So that's all good. So we
and
have
a
lot of different
thoughts.
Things. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so those should be coming shortly. We have a lot of different things we wanted to touch base with on tonight, and it seems like we're always having to do an Earth update. So it's just kind of calling. It's going to be one of our regulars that we're just going to normally have to be reviewing. It's such an important part of our message and what's going on with transforming the world. It's definitely transforming the world, that's for sure. So we'll start off right off the bat with, of course, we have the Iceland volcano. And one of our diners that comes in and checks in with us occasionally is Mr. Al Diaz. And Al had a wonderful message that he had on his current newsletter. And if you guys want to go to that, it's iluma-ao.com. I think if you just go to Al Diaz and go ahead and search for him, you'll be able to find him online. And then he was really sharing about the perspective of what's going on with the volcano. So if you guys will indulge me, I want to read just a little bit of this. It says, for the most part, I rarely watch TV. TV, there is not much I care to watch, especially with the news. The interesting thing is that I've noticed that there is something of great importance that I should know about eventually gets to me so that I'm aware of it. Right now, what keeps coming up for me is what's going on with Mother Earth in regards to the earthquakes and volcanoes. I've heard different scenarios from different people about what's going on, and I'm sure in their minds what they speak of is valid, and I'm not going to tell you who's right or wrong. What I do want to present is a couple viewpoints for you to ponder. What if we were going through right now, now globally, what's happening without the phone, the TV, the radio, or the internet being in existence? In other words, global communication would be so much slower at a slower pace. Do you think humanity would be talking as much about what's going on in other parts of the world? To me, because we have the ability to communicate at a much quicker rate than ever before, that pluses humanity in a heightened alert of either react or respond in each current event. I prefer to respond as I see and hear events instead of react, which comes across far from being a fear-based perspective. I thought that was a really good thing to be talking about with what's going on with the earthquakes and things like that, because it's, you know, the Earth is definitely evolving. We're definitely having a lot of change and a lot of growth going on with the planet. And I just wanted to kind of put that on the table. Gloria, what do you think about what Al wrote about on his newsletter?
I think he sat the fence.
He what? He sat the fence?
I think he sat the fence.
Okay.
You know, I understand that his newsletter is, he presents things, but yet, you know, it's like, yes, and it doesn't really take a stand.
Uh-huh.
You know, he does make the supposition, but
mm-hmm.
then he doesn't take it anywhere. He does leave it open for other people to come to their own discoveries, which is wise, because then people
mm-hmm.
own it. And
mm-hmm.
yet presenting several different arguments in the conversation would
mm-hmm.
allow people to perhaps explore different avenues of what may either occur from it or be propelled by it and created by the different ways that people are seeing things. And so presenting different scenarios, presenting different arguments would allow people to see more sides of the coin, and they might be able to go, oh, wow, I hadn't even considered that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And just opening it up more.
Mm-hmm.
So he did a good job, and I think that there could have been more.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Jamie?
Well, it depends on what news I would be reacting to, and I would definitely react before I would respond.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that affected me immediately, then I would probably act in a certain way and respond however I would. It depends on the situation, I'd imagine. And as far as not watching or reading anything about the media or listening to the radio, I think you'd have to pretty much isolate yourself greatly, because it's all around. Unless you consciously don't listen to the news or don't read the newspaper or get your news online, I guess it's however you decide to interpret who's reporting the news, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of times you don't really get the full perspective from just one viewpoint, so you have to make your own mind up.
Yeah, well,
that's
we were actually
think.
Kind of commenting on that on one of our last radio shows about how, you know, that unfortunately the news is being so you know, tainted into one direction. You know, you guys were talking about how, you know, it's being, you know, mobily owned by people that, you know, whatever they decide is the viewpoint for everybody to know about it is basically the perspective that's coming on it. So
well,
I'm kind of coming from a...
Don't believe everything you read or hear, you know. I mean, it could
yeah,
be...
Yeah.
Most definitely. And that's an age-old adage, I imagine.
Oh, sure.
Right.
And I was kind of thinking from the opposite perspective that, you know, aren't we fortunate that we get to be, you know, moments and seconds away of having something happen, going back to the tsunami that happened with Hawaii. And I just know in my heart of hearts that people, as soon as they recognized that there was any kind of a threat with the tsunami coming toward Hawaii, that there was just so many prayers and asking that dissipate and having to be in a place where, you know, it wasn't going to cause any damage. And, you know, to say that prayer doesn't change things, you know, you really have to, you know, I mean, that to me was like the proof is in the pudding when, or proof, you know, is in the, you know, the wave, as it were.
You know,
that, you know, it just really dissipated, and having that happen to me, that was just such a miracle.
Having the technology to monitor or predict tsunamis, that's developed over the years, I imagine, and it's pretty up to date, although it's better safe than sorry. And if they hadn't have issued a warning or in time, perhaps that might have been a different outcome. But it's fortunate that how it didn't happen. So.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So, and you know, one thing too is I had forwarded both Gloria and Jamie some pictures a little bit earlier this tonight. Of somebody had forwarded some pictures of all the different. So a lot of different perspectives of how it looks with the volcano. Some of them are people who live close by and the ash and dealing with the animal life and things. You know, having to move a lot of the cattle and horses and things like out of there with just, you know, so they can basically be in a place where they're not so close to the ash and things like that happening. And I mean, you know, literally looks like snow when it's the ash kind of thing happening. One thing that I think is just really fascinating is the lightning that's happening with this volcano. It's so fascinating.
There was a quite striking picture on the paper today, and it was in the photo there was lightning, there was the smoke and the ash coming up, there was also blue sky kind of in the background. It was very
pretty. Yeah,
I think that occurs from the way the whatever is so fine that it creates or it makes an arc from the electricity, that the static buildup, I guess.
Yeah, the thing is, you know, one talks like major static cling. I mean, woo,
right.
Can you imagine? You know, you really have to be rubbing your socks together to get that going, man.
It sure makes it dramatic, that's for sure.
Oh, it's just the power of creation and the power of nature. Mm-hmm. And just seeing that on such a minor scale and thinking that that's really how the Earth was created. I mean, it's fascinating and beautiful, and yet you look at that and just, you know, see the different levels of growth and change and stuff like that. I have a really cool book that I have called with Hawaiian Wisdom, and it goes into just the different aspects of looking at you know, natural occurrences. And Pele is the goddess of destruction, and definitely something Pele is associated with Earth, you know, with the volcanoes and things like that, and having her be part of creation. But what's really lovely about that, with the traditions of Hawaii, Pele is also someone that it's the symbolism of things being upheaval to clear way for something new and beautiful to be created. So there's that aspect of, you know, things need to be turned over and changed, and how things, you know, just radically moved, whether it be our behavior or priorities or whatever's, you know, having a course for change and calling that into being something that can be, you know, almost like creating a new playing field, a new, you know, baseline, so we can basically be creating on a new level. And I'd also, one of Kathy's friends had emailed me about the ash is so fine that and because of the creation of the volcano, it's actually obsidian. And obsidian, from what she was saying, is actually very good for our health on a certain level, and it's also a cleanser. It's a cleansing that's really can be there on a very fine level. So it's kind of a different perspective looking at all the different things that can be of benefit with the volcano. What are you thinking, Gloria?
Well, I have been thinking about uses for it. We had talked about the use for volcanic ash a while back, and in my mind, I'm wondering if it would be possible to use it in lieu of sandbags, and how that would work. Because as sand, I'm just thinking, if you were to put something into a container that would disintegrate with time, it would eventually become ash. But over time, if it were filled in next to riverbeds, it might actually solidify into rock.
Oh, yeah.
My brain is just curious. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's very interesting. There also were saying tonight that there's always been the occurrence of there's actually a volcano that's larger. And it's funny because of there's so many vowels in this volcano that they call it the E15. And it could, because somebody wants to say the actual name of it because they know they're not saying it right. So we're identifying it as the E15. And I'm like, okay. So the E15 actually has a big brother or sister, and they call that one Kala. And
Kala, right.
Yeah, and they're saying Kala, within 6 months, every time the E15 starts to be active, that Kala will basically follow suit, and normally it's 10 times larger than the E15. So it's almost like things to come, you know. And like I said, it's like the tsunami. We could be just really sending a lot of positive energy and light out there and having it be something that could be for change, you know. And wouldn't that be great, you know, if it needed to erupt, but it wouldn't be so large. That could be a really wonderful thing of just kind of knowing we could put that kind of a mindset and energy out there and just, you know, have it be what it needs to be, but yet not have it be in harm's way for everybody else in the process. So I just kind of want to put that out there. So, Jamie, do you have any news updates about the earthquakes or any of the volcanoes that we've had happen in the last couple of weeks?
Well, not to mention the effect of the volcano re-erupting, the small one, the Eyjafjallajökull, that's what I say. Although it's reported just Icelandic volcano has disrupted the air travel, and that means there's millions of people who can't get someplace. And this is a major disruption and economical disaster, especially for the airlines and people traveling. It's mostly the transatlantic routes, and I guess it varies on the direction of the cloud. Now, the cloud is also going towards Europe, so it's very destructive as far as air flight goes. So that's not just to mention air passengers, but any cargo or freight or anything that's flown. Well, as I don't think it would affect us, not directly, but it may keep erupting, and that's very detrimental to any future flights.
Right.
There was also a earthquake in China as well, in the very rural area.
Wasn't it in Tibet?
Yes, in the Tibetan area, and it's I think 1,200 people they finally said, but that's kind of looked down from this volcano eruption, because I think that got more it's kind of more of a widespread thing. But again,
yeah,
there's always something happening, and it seems to be a very frequent cycle now. So
every Sunday or Monday, but before we do the show, some kind of natural occurrence is going on. So like, okay,
here
we go, the update. So it is getting to be the Earth update, okay? Every week we're like, oh my gosh, okay. So, but just a little touch on the Tibetan earthquake. I was actually talking to Kathy about that as well, and she's not with us tonight. She had some other obligations, so we kind of miss her not being here at the table. But we're gonna save some others for her. We'll probably save dessert for her because I'm sure she'd love that. So, with the Tibet, I was sharing with Kathy about how it just seems like an opportunity for China to really reach out to Tibet when there was just so much upheaval when they took over Tibet, and have it be a place of really going in and serving the people and helping them to recover and just come to a new place with relationships between Tibet and China. So it seems like a kind of an extended of heart, a heart to go out there on a level of care and recognizing just the humanness of being able to take care of each other. Did you want to say something, Gloria?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. Okay. So anything else you guys want to do on the update? That feels pretty complete.
They're starting to want to fly through, or the airlines and they need to kind of get this. They can't really tell the volcano to stop erupting, for one thing, and it is putting a definite kink in everybody's collar there, you know, if you know what I mean. And it could get worse. And like I said, it's very unpredictable. It depends which way the air flow or the direction of the air. But that's the volcanic ash in an engine, like a turbine engine from a jet plane, isn't the best match. So that's what they don't want. But then they're trying to tell people that it's safe to fly, and I don't think I'd want to fly if it was a
no,
where near like that.
Either. Yeah.
And they
yeah.
were talking about how people are capitalizing on this, like charging more for people to stay, and then this is maybe people that were on vacation, so they're kind of in a bad way, and it makes you it really. I mean, you take for granted if you do fly a lot, then once you can't, then you're stuck somewhere, you know.
Well, and it kind of goes just back to just all of us in general when it comes to a sense
mm-hmm.
of levels of transportation and convenience and just so many things we've taken for granted for pretty much
right.
the majority of people who've been able to move around and do stuff without really, I mean, you know, really Hawaii's been the only place that people said, oh, yeah, there's volcanoes. I mean, you know, and it's like it's just, oh, yeah, their island's growing kind of a thing. It's
right,
not like
right.
It was detrimental to having people, you know, just getting around and doing what they wanted to do. But now, you know, it's unfortunate, too, because I actually was talking to a couple people about the fact that, you know, these airlines are having to put out so much money in supporting the people that are stranded when it's a matter of being a national disaster, you know,
right.
a nature disaster, and having it, you know, be something that, you know, the companies are having to help with the expenses and just taking care of people, which is, you know, the right thing to do, but yet it's also creating a hardship because a lot of these people maybe spent $200 or $300 for round-trip tickets from going from, like, say, London to New York or something, and here they're having to spend thousands of dollars to make sure that these people are being taken care of. So there's definitely – they're going to be looking for subsidies to have something like that being taken care of.
You're talking about major hubs on the continent of Europe, you know, and that's a big deal.
They're huge, too. Yeah.
Yes, you know, when you're talking about England and France and I think they said Spain and below there, that's, or, you know, I guess it depends where you're at if you can able to fly out. But, again, that's I will keep an eye on everything and try to report back. So that's my update.
Okay. Well, and it's definitely something that's going to be changing from day to day, depending on the weather and what happens with the winds and all
right.
that kinds of stuff. And you know, it's interesting to see how a lot of people are going to their governments and saying, do something about this when it's nature. And
right.
it's going to do what it needs to do and what it's going to do kind of a thing. It's just a matter of how do we work in recognizing that it's just something that's here that we need to befriend and figure out how we can and still get everybody what they need kind of a thing. So, okay.
Well, definitely,
Laura,
I think it definitely grounds
that?
People, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, more people are going to be on the sea and things like that. So there
yep.
you go. Find other ways of getting around. So that's good. We'll be closer to Mother Nature. We'll be closer to the water and you're not just flying over her. We're actually getting connected in a different way. And you know, it's going to, it already has, you know, really created it where for people to slow down and be where they are and connect to people in a different way. You know, just having it
sure.
be just part of your circumstances kind of thing. So, and hopefully
well,
people have.
I guess you have to make do with what you have and try to be, you know, try to do the best of what you got. That's about all I can say.
Yeah, well, and it's everybody's kind of rising to the occasion and seeing what we need to be working through. We're definitely working through stuff. That's probably why it's Obsidian. clearing
right.
out some negativity there. So there you go. So the second thing we were going to cover on our appetizers was I had gotten a really unusual message from a friend of mine about Ziploc freezer bags and how you could use them for pest control. And she said she went to her friend's on Sunday to have breakfast and sat on the patio beside the house and happened to notice the Ziploc bags that were pinned to a post on a wall. The bags were half filled with water and each contained 4 to 5 pennies and they were zipped shut. Naturally, we were curious. The woman said that the bags kept the flies away, so we naturally became even more curious. They watched as the flies would come up to the open window, stand around on the windowsill, and then fly away again. There were no flies in the eating area. And that morning she checked it out on Google, and sure enough, it was for fly control idea. And it's basically a, you know, a non-toxic way to keep the flies away. So what do you guys
wow.
think of that? I know, huh?
That works.
Now?
Huh?
How does that work? Is it fool the flies somehow, or?
Well, they're saying what it does. It says, I'll read a couple of the people who were saying, they said, I tried the Ziploc bag penny for this week, and they had a horse trailer, and they said the flies normally were so bad that they couldn't even really stay. But she said not one fly came near the trailer when she had put up the Ziploc bag with the pennies in it. And she says it's not sure why it works, but it does. And then this guy on the bottom was saying, regarding the science behind the Ziploc bags of water, it's found that millions of molecules of water represent its own prism effect, and given that the flies have a lot of eyes, to them it's like a zillion disco balls reflecting light, colors, and movement in a dazzling manner. When you figure that flies are prey for many other bugs, animals, and birds, they simply won't take the risk of being around that much perceived action. So more to a rural area and to these hillbillies, they were just yanking a city boy chain, but I tried it, and it works immediately. We went from hundreds of flies to seeing an occasional one, but you know, and they don't hang around very long. And apparently, it also works with wasps.
Ooh!
So you can use it for wasps or flies. That's just like, God, that's pretty darn
spiders.
Interesting. Huh?
Spiders have eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it would. I doubt that it would work for spiders.
No, I don't think it would work for spiders. But you never know. It's just kind of an interesting idea, and in the fact that it would work for something like that is like, you know, wondering who this, you know, who the heck figured that out? You know how that goes.
Now I'm having a retro. I'm having a retro moment. Disco fever.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, these like disco flies. They're like, not going there, man. You go there once, you never go back.
That's old school.
Disco flies? Are they fly?
That's right. They are flies.
They're not fly. They're not fly because they won't do the Ziploc bag thing. No, they're not fly anymore. They've got fuel. They know better.
What happens when the flies start wearing sunglasses? And then you're in trouble.
I know. Well, see, then they probably wouldn't care. So there you go.
They'd
totally
be too cool.
Thing. Yeah, too cool for school. So there you go. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of a fun little thing. So if you guys have any kind of issues with flies, do that little Ziploc bag thing. So it's like a half a bag of water, and then you put like 4 or 5 pennies in there, and then you just hang it up someplace so it can have a reflective quality. And your
what
flies
about,
will not bother you. There you go.
What about fruit flies? Now, you know the kind I'm talking about. They're hardly there. They're almost non-existent, and then they show up one day. You have a bowl of fruit on your counter, maybe in the kitchen.
I think it's the same thing, you know.
Some little guys?
And they wouldn't be there, yeah.
Mmm.
That's worth a try.
Okay.
Just do a little... Get a smaller, get like a sandwich bag. Why not?
Get a smaller bag for the smaller flies, right? Okay.
Right. You know, you can those little snack bags or, you know, the little sandwich bags or something like that. So that would be kind of cool, too. So another one that I had.
If that were the case, you wouldn't need the pennies.
Well, I don't know. What are you going to do with that? You know, I don't know. You'd have to say, you know, you probably still need the pennies so it reflects or something. I don't know. I just pass along all these strange things and let you guys figure it out for yourself. There we go. But anyway, we could we could have that as an appetizer next time. We could find out and say, hey, did you guys
see if anybody tried it?
Yeah. Okay, I have a little homework for us. So I'll get a little Ziploc bag and try it with our pennies and see if that works for bugs. So that's good. Another one that I came across, which really goes back like 2 or 3 shows ago when we were talking about the consciousness of technology. There was an article that came out that was about the nonsense. Being in nonsense is actually good for your brain, and they were talking about the fact that daydreaming and just having some downtime for your mind is actually a really good thing because with processes and all the different cognitive things that we have happening with computers and our cell phones and all the different technical ways that we're dealing with stuff, we just are constantly getting bombarded by information, and they're finding that really you need to give your brain a timeout. So, you know, which makes perfect sense because it's this constant processing. After a while, the brain just can't be sensitive to details and things like that and looking at things from a proper perspective. So, you know, you just have to a little fun with your brain, which is like a good news. That's all good news.
But, you know, the brain doesn't feel any pain.
The brain doesn't feel anything, then what's a headache?
That's correct. Oh, well,
what's
the brain
headache?
doesn't have any pain receptors in it.
Well, what is our head hurt?
I don't know.
Gloria, do
the brain,
you know?
The brain itself does. I'm sure there's lots of nerve endings on the outside of it, though.
Why don't we have, what's with headaches then? If your brain
doesn't have
nerve pain.
You have vascular receptors, and I may not be saying that correctly, but you have you have nerve endings that do go in and around the head.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm speculating because I haven't done any reading on it.
Uh-huh.
But I would say that it would have to do with some sort of an interruption within your blood flow that's pinching a nerve.
So it's
you know
blood
what?
Flow.
I will
blood flow instead of nerves, huh?
I will look that one up and we'll get on.
Yeah,
it
what causes
time.
A headache? That would be really
right.
good. Okay.
Because
okay,
a lot
Dr.
of it's like
Dr.
Like
Jamie,
to have headaches,
we'll find
right?
out for next week. It'll be your homework. Huh?
That's my homework.
That's your homework, Dr.
Right.
Dr. Jamie. Why do we have headaches? Yeah.
Well, that's my brother.
Oh, that's your brother? Well, you know, hey, it runs in the family. It's okay. You're just an informational doctor. That's okay.
Okay.
That's good. Yeah.
You were
Dr.
Just
Info.
Say, we're
going to
call you Dr.
You
Info.
How about that?
You were just going to say he's a royal headache anyway. I get it.
Right.
No, I wasn't going to say that. I wasn't
no,
going
I meant Jamie.
That
Jamie.
Was leaving that up for you. Jamie. Okay.
I've been accused of being worse, though.
So. Really? Okay. We're going to call you Dr. Info. Part of this article I thought was really cool because he was saying that our writer said he's been thinking more and more about the external environment and our internal environment. We feel like we live in an external environment because we interact with the world. We also have a dynamic and rich internal environment. The results of his work with looking at brain activity said that there may be consciousness that we jam more and more stimulus into our heads without taking a break to simply contemplate or daydream. So there are costs that are multitasking are not and not pausing. So really just taking a little bit of a break can be just really dynamic. So his previous studies have shown that multitaskers are more distracted and stressed. So there you go. There you go. It says it's up to us to slow down enough to make the informed decisions. I think there is a growing tendency to feel that if we feel that and we know that it's something that we need to be conscious of, that because the media is just in all different forms. And he says you might as well use it as at the same time. Just because it exists and it's cool doesn't mean that it's something you should be utilizing simultaneously. So it's like one thing at a time and, you know, think about maybe what you're looking at and how you want to deal with that or not deal with that. And that goes back to that other, show when we were talking about, how am I wanting to interact with that? Do I have to pick up my cell phone just because it's ringing and I'm interacting with a person? You know, so it goes back to that kind of a conversation as well. So I just thought that was really interesting that, we're really looking at all the technology and media and things like that and how it affects us. And, that multitasking isn't what it's been cracked up to be. So, that's a good thing. So, it's actually making you more stupid to be interacting on so many levels at the same time. So, there you go.
Again, it depends on your level of multitasking and what kind of things you're doing,
Mm-hmm.
So if it's
mm-hmm.
driving and texting, I don't think that's going to work, but,
Yeah. Well, to me, it even goes back to just, creating some time during the day when you have fun or you do something you like to do just because you like to do it. That's something I really loved about having children is, we would sit down and color, or we'd play a game or, just have time outside, where you maybe play with a ball or something like that. It just gives you such an opportunity to be able to do something like that. So, you may still have game time and things like that as you grow older. So I think that's one reason why the brain does start having a different level of development because some of those things you don't do anymore as your kids grow older and you're not participating on that stuff on a regular basis. So what do you think of that, Gloria?
There's a saying that you should slow down to go faster.
Hmm.
By
mm-hmm.
slowing down, you can speed up, and that's because you have the ability to be able to focus on
mm-hmm.
a physical level, especially like in sports.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the ability to focus, more of a laser focus.
It's like being in the zone, right?
Exactly. Giving
right.
the brain and the mind time to focus on in a more of a laser beam fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to collect, connect, and coordinate
Ooh.
Everything much more efficiently, which means
mm-hmm.
that you will operate and execute more efficiently.
Okay.
So definitely something
yeah.
to that.
Well, it's just like I know with my flower shop, I've kind of learned over the years because I've actually had the business for like over 20 years, And there'll be times when I actually close the store for 3 or 4 days just to kind of take a break. And I've had customers wait for me to come back, and my productivity and this business in itself seems to be better when, you know, you do take a break. So you think you're losing business, but in the long run, it's actually beneficial for yourself and everyone that, you know, you have taken a break. So.
Well, see, and that's what a lot of companies, that's what a lot of companies don't understand within their employees. They have managers that will go on holiday, and the managers are saying, oh, yeah, I have my phone. You can call me anytime. Well, I'm sorry, that's not a break.
And
it's counterproductive, because even though you have somebody who can answer the question, when that person comes back, they're more harried than if they'd actually just taken a break.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So the employer is not getting 100% of that employee when they come back, and they're doing a disservice not only to the employee who's going to have a higher incidence of illness, perhaps, as well as not being 100% when they come back to the job. And that's what the employer needs, less less illness, so that it is less on their insurance rates, and they need more focus so that they have higher productivity.
Yeah, having fun. Having fun in the workplace. Having fun in the workplace. It's kind of like our last show where, you know, can I be happy and can I be looking forward to going to work every day? And, you know, with that other presenter that we were talking about last week, and he definitely said, you know, you really, that's ultimately our goal, is to, no matter what I'm doing, I'm enjoying the process. It doesn't matter that I'm goal-oriented as much as the fact that I'm enjoying what I'm doing and contributing to what, you know, what I have around me, and making that effort, and that being something can be significant in the giving and, you know, giving and receiving of something like that. So that's pretty cool. I had a really fun thing that I had come across, and it was what's in your freezer. And it's actually a really cool thing that I thought maybe we could kind of play and have you guys maybe guess some of the things. What are some things that you can have in your freezer that will either save you money or save you in having it be economical, where you actually get more for your buck? So what do you think would some of those things be?
Perhaps you could let me that again.
Huh?
I mean, I understood what you said, but I don't understand what you're asking us to. I mean, are we looking to dispose of what we have in our freezer?
Right. Well, what do you think you would have in your freezer that would either save you time and money? That you could put in your freezer that would save time and money.
Okay.
What do you think?
You're
probably. Right. I know you already have some things in your freezer that work really well. Like one thing that Gloria does that I think is really excellent is she'll take fruit and she freezes it, and she'll use it like ice cubes when she makes smoothies.
Mmm.
So it works out really well. You're preserving the food so you can actually use it so it doesn't go rotten. And then you're also making it so it can be really yummy. I think maybe we should have something like that for dessert. That sounds pretty good.
I think
good,
we need a nectarine.
It's time for dessert. Yeah, we were talking earlier, Jamie and I checked base with Jamie about the volcanoes and stuff earlier, and I had actually ordered a flan. And he said, we should warm up some nectarines. And I was thinking if we sauteed them in some brandy.
There you go.
Nectarines with brandy and then put them with some flan or custard or something like that. Wouldn't that be yummy? I think that would
sound good.
Awesome. Yeah, doesn't it sound good? What do you think, Gloria?
Sounds real good.
I like triple sec.
Triple sec. What is that?
It's more of an orange.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So triple sex with a flan?
Yeah.
Okay. I was telling Jamie, I said, you know what, they really need to rename that flan. It just needs a better name. And he said, no, it's like a flim flan.
And you said flan.
That's because you're not pronouncing it correctly. It's flan.
Why not? Flan. Even then, flan. It just sounds strange, flan. I like flan.
When you say flan, it sounds so American.
Well, you know, I can't hide what I am. So there you go. Flan. We shall have flan with some triple sex nectarines. Ooh, okay. Wow, that sounds pretty exotic. Yeah,
you could
sounds pretty luscious.
Go with the
Dolce de
Leche.
Alamode.
Yeah, I was going to say Alamode. It sounds like it needs we need some wonderful, really, you know, the real good vanilla ice cream there. That would be yummy. That would be very yummy.
Or maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. So freezing your fruits and things like that is a good thing. Along with fruit, they're saying your spices are a good thing to put in your freezer, as well as coffee. Coffee is a good thing too.
Egg whites as well.
Oh, really? Egg whites? Would you put them like in an ice cube tray?
You can.
Wouldn't that be kind of a cool thing to do, depending on what you need to cook for stuff? And they're saying ice when you have like just a little bit of wine in the bottom of a bottle, and it's not really a full glass, to put that in ice cubes as well so you can use that in your cooking.
Nice.
Yeah. So just little fun things like that. So that's kind of a fun one. One food that surprised me was popcorn.
You can also put in raw aloe from the aloe plant so that when you have a sunburn, all you do is, it doesn't really freeze because it's kind of a gel, so it seems pretty frozen, but you can take a knife and you can slice the aloe off and then put it on the burns, and it's nice and cold as well as soothing for the sunburns.
Yeah, it's going to help heal that skin right away too. I love aloe. It's just such a good plant.
Do you ever ingest the aloe by mixing it with anything?
Put it with some juice.
Right.
Yeah, do it with juice and all that. Yeah. It's very good for the body. Yeah. Especially if you're going to be doing any kind of a deep cleansing program, you want to, I think it's really good to do, if you do the juicing. I have a juicer, so do a natural juicer and then put some aloe and stuff in there. When you're doing your cleaning out your system, you're pulling all those toxins and all the different, you know, stuff that's been sitting in your body, and your tissues are going to be on a little bit on the sensitive side. So it's a good thing to do to put some aloe and some good healed, you know, wonderful juice in there at the same time. So it makes the body really happy. So there you go. That's really cool. So, and they also said, all your booze, like vodka, you know, like the harder liquors, you can just put those in the freezer too, because they won't freeze. Because you were saying how aloe doesn't freeze. Alcohol like that won't freeze either.
And it freezes somewhat.
Yeah, you got chili. It's very chili. It's a very chili vodka, things like that. So there you go. So you can buy cheaper booze and put it in your freezer, and it actually will hold up and taste better. So there you go.
Actually, put it in the ice cube tray and then make a drink.
Oh, there you go. He's just like, you just throw it in there and let it thaw a little bit. You know, there you go.
Definitely
a double shot.
Now we can get a helpful hint for Heloise.
Yeah, I know, huh? And then one of the weird ones I thought was pantyhose.
Ooh.
You put pantyhose in the freezer, and some women just swear by it. They say that they won't run. Somehow it won't. It makes the. Does it work?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But that's good for a hot day, though, probably.
Oh, wouldn't that feel cool? Yeah. Well, I don't know. You want to try it, Jamie?
Okay.
I'll get my Spanx out.
It's like, how's that? Yeah. Well, you can always put it on your head. So there you go. It would be feeling cool to put it on that way instead. So there you go. One thing, too, that they said was really neat is if you have any kind of wooden, like, tchotchkes and things like that around, they were talking about a mask that there had been woodworms. And if you stick it in a freezer for a couple weeks, it will kill any kind of pests and things like that that are in your wood.
Wow.
So you can use it as a natural way of having it for pests, you know, doing pest control with stuff like that with wood. I thought that was pretty cool. So that was kind of a side thing.
I did not hear you. You put what in the freezer for pest control?
Like small artifacts of wood. So like
say
you had something small that was made out of wood that had like woodworms, you could put it in there and basically it would kill all the pests that were inside the wood.
Okay.
It'll freeze them, yeah. And same thing with plant seeds. When you do plant seeds, you put them in there for a sense of like they go very dormant, and then when you go ahead and plant them, they actually germinate better and faster, and you actually get more, you know, especially if you're doing fruits and vegetables and stuff, especially vegetables, you're going to get a lot more vegetables because they've been dormant longer.
Well, and that's the same thing. Well, no, that's a different thing. Never mind. I was going to talk about a live plant versus seeds, and never mind.
Okay, but that's like something that's kind of an interesting thing to have it on there. So I thought that was kind of cool. And then they were saying batteries. Have you guys ever done batteries? The batteries last longer. Yeah, batteries last longer.
I just remembered something. I have a cousin who repairs computers.
Mm-hmm.
And if your hard drive ever, if you ever lose your hard drive,
mm-hmm.
and you freeze it up, you think it's lost, stick it in the freezer, mm-hmm. and they can retrieve the data.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
You have to keep it cold?
Well, you put it in the freezer. Like, for example, if you think you've lost everything on your hard drive,
uh-huh.
you take the hard drive and you put it in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And then the technician can take it out, and supposedly you can get data back on it. I guess he did that, and I guess he retrieved something from a hospital database for them, and one of his ways of retrieving information. It's trick of the trade.
Isn't that interesting? I just think that's really interesting. They're also seeing candles. You freeze the wax, and it actually it takes longer for the candles to burn.
Hmm.
Yeah, I've actually heard of that, and I've recommended that to people when they're doing weddings and stuff like that, and they have a longer, like, paper candles and stuff they'll use for, like, candelabras and stuff at a wedding, because I'd heard that a long time ago, and you know, most of the time people have been pretty happy with their results on that, too. So you can buy less expensive candles and freeze them for a little while, and they do better because it's just they're just more solid, I guess. So that's cool. Another one they said is the plastic bottles. You know that they, you can you know the liter bottles and things like that for storage. It helps just to keep your freezer colder, so it runs more efficiently. So it's not having to you know cool so much. So to be able to cut down on energy bills and things like that, having two or three bottles of you know water in there and let them freeze up.
You're assuming we have an empty freezer.
Yeah, I'm assuming you have it, yep. Well, you know, it's that old thing, that, you know, once a year you need to clean out your freezer anyway, you know. So but I'm sure there's stuff, and I know I've got stuff in my freezer that I haven't seen. It hasn't seen the light of day for quite a while, so probably go someplace else, so you know how that goes. And then the last one was that if you put your laundry in the freezer and then you take it out and let it air dry, it actually will iron better.
Hmm.
I think it kind of goes along with the whole pantyhose thing, you know, where it affects the material, you know, the fibers of the clothing. It affects the cloth and something, you know, so it makes it to where it'll be more receptive.
But does anybody iron anymore?
Like
I don't know.
I iron. Do you iron, Gloria?
I do iron.
Yeah.
I haven't ironed in I don't know how long.
And I like the iron, actually. I actually kind of find it a nice thing because it's just, it's almost very meditative the way.
It's probably
you know,
meditative, yeah, I was
going to
say.
Yeah, it's a very meditative thing to do.
Well, there's
huh?
probably somebody
that's
of irony somewhere.
Just like washing the dishes. I actually like to just sit and wash the dishes sometimes. I'm like in the water and I'm with you know, just in the motion of doing the whole thing. To me, that's just kind of a calming thing to do. Of course, I can think about when I was little, that's the last thing in the world I wanted to do, but, you know, there you go. We grow older, and we find new appreciations for things like that, so that's kind of cool. So did you guys like that? I thought that was kind of interesting.
That's very interesting.
And, you know, I learned a couple with Miss Gloria with the aloe. That's a really good tip. I'm going to have to share that one with
well,
the
and if you have children that are teething,
mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
You know the little the popsicles that come in the plastic sleeves, they come as liquid.
Uh-huh.
And you have these popsicle sticks that are sealed all the way around with plastic, and you stick them in the freezer, and this liquid gets hard, and then you cut off the end and push them up.
Uh-huh.
If you have a child that's teething, you can, you know, you make sure that you trim the edges.
Uh-huh.
But you can stick those in the freezer and let them just chew on the plastic part.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
it's easier
would,
to get into their mouth.
It would feel so good on their mouth. Yeah, it would feel good with the teeth, especially when they're sore and all that. And then it's a nice, cool thing for them to be chomping on.
It's easier to get into the mouth. And then if it does break, they are eating the popsicle.
Wow, that's cool. So there you go. Either one of you guys kind of jump into leftovers? Last week we had talked to Carolyn Kaufman. We had a really great show where we talked about the new kids on the block and some of the intuition and just the new levels of some of the things that are happening with kids with their senses of just awareness and what's going on with stuff. And Carolyn and one of her friends had put together a Facebook that is encouraging everybody. Every 11:11, so 11:11 in the morning, 11 in the morning, and 11 at night at 11:11. Just to take a moment and just send light and love to the world and ask for just, you know, the best and the highest good for all things. And I was curious if either one of you had tried that and had anything happen. Gloria,
I,
did you try it?
Go ahead.
Gloria, did you try that?
I don't do that. I, on a regular basis, whenever I see 11:11 or 12:12 or anything like that, ever since I started doing the Native American traditions with
mm-hmm.
with respect to the 11:11 conference with the Star
mm-hmm.
Nation families, I've
mm-hmm.
always paid attention to that. So
mm-hmm.
it's not a conscious, it's kind of like riding the bicycle, you know, once you start doing it, you just automatically
yeah.
do it without
yeah,
thinking.
Yeah, kind of like a knee-jerk, yeah. I've actually noticed that people are starting to make appointments, like instead of like, let's meet at 9:30, they're like, let's meet at 9:33. Or, you know, it's like that where they're doubling the numbers. Or like instead of, you know, let's, instead of meeting at 10, we meet at 10:10. Things like that. I was like, oh, well, that's kind of interesting. I just noticed that actually the last couple of days, people have been, they're setting up different kinds of meetings and things like that. They're pushing it to a little bit later or earlier, so the numbers are kind of in sequence with each other.
Makes me wonder, for the most part, if they're just looking to maximize their time and fit more into their day.
Well, no, because like, you're supposed to meet at 10, but then you meet at 10:10. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I know, but their appointment at 9:30 with travel time, that puts them there at 10:10.
So you make it, yeah, or you can, okay, instead of 9:30, I'm meeting you at 9:33.
Exactly.
9:30.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or it's like, okay, now let's meet at 9:22. Okay. Well, I thought we'd just move it up instead of back. So, you know, that goes, that kind of thing. So what do you think of that? And did you try, Jamie, with the 11:11? Jamie? Did you lose Jamie? We did. We lost Jamie. Uh-oh. Wonder what happened. Okay. Well, anyway, so I did try it, and actually, you know, I'm kind of more with Gloria when I see a certain time. It seems like I always wake up. I'm an early riser, and I, you know, I'll wake up at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning. It'll be 5:55 or 4:44 or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. So I always kind of pay attention to that and maybe where what I'm thinking about and things like that. So it's just, to me, it's just kind of like a little aha moment of being in the now and focusing on that for a second, just being mindful of the moment, you know, when you have something mm-hmm. like that kind of happen. So it makes it kind of an interesting thing. So, okay. So I have a really good inspirational quote. And I read this today, and it made me think for a second. It said, "Not everything that is focused on can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced or focused on."
Sounds like a fortune cookie.
Yeah, it sounds like, okay, fortune cookie. Not everything.
It's awesome.
That is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced.
That's right.
Yeah. It's like, you know, your whole thing where you say, you know, thoughts are things, that, you know, with the power of our thoughts and what that's all about. There we go.
Well, plus, you know, it's about that slowing down to speed up. Once you start looking at it and you send your attention and focus your energy into it, that's when you're going to be experiencing any kind of change that may come about. Because otherwise, it's like looking at a color. If you don't know it exists, you never pay attention to it, and it just continues to exist, much like the random quirks that you don't even see.
Right.
You
so
just
Jamie
never know
back.
They're there.
Hi, Jamie. Yeah.
Hello.
Jamie?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm right here.
There you are. That's okay. Hey, did you hear my question about if you tried the 11:11?
You know, I thought about it, but I didn't consciously find myself at 11:11.
Okay.
But I will give that a shot.
Okay.
On looking at the clock and seeing what time it is, I always end up with 12:34 for some reason.
12:34. Wow,
yeah.
That's interesting.
1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4. Huh.
I was going to say, look at the numerology in that one.
Yeah,
right.
Let's see, that's a 3, 6, 10. A 10's new beginnings.
Right.
Because it's a higher one. So there you go. Mm-hmm. That's pretty darn cool. Yeah, that's pretty darn cool. Did you, and the quote, you didn't hear our quote for the day, did you?
Yes, I did.
What did you think?
Yeah, that's a good quote. It's definitely true.
Yeah, so there's like, you know, so we're just like facing change and having that be such a good thing. So that's pretty cool. Next week, I had just gotten a book that I've been just really enjoying. It says, Can We Be Happy for No Reason? And it's actually by a girl named Marcy that she was one of the girls that was on the Secret. And I just kind of wondered on that, and it just seems like the whole thing about being happy. And one of the things she talked about that we'll be kind of expanding on a little bit next week is the fact that everybody has a happy set point. And just kind of an interesting premise to think that we all can be in a place of, you know, wanting to improve our way we're looking in life, and then the fact that, you know, it can be a practice and working with that a little bit. So, you know, you guys have any thoughts about happiness? Because she actually did an interview. She interviewed 100 people that basically are happy people, and I'm still in the process of reading all that. But what do you guys think it takes to be happy? Jamie?
I guess that's a tough one. I know the older I get, I seem to find happiness in smaller things in life for some reason, or just it really depends. If it's what I do, my profession, if it makes a person happy, then I'm happy, you know. If it's trying to be positive, then, you know, try to be, you know, form of happiness, I guess, or just trying not to live each moment in day by day, or hour by hour, minute by minute if you need to, but living in the moment, that's good.
Okay, and we've got about maybe 3 or 4 minutes left. Ms. Gloria, what do you think about happiness? What's the success of happiness?
Finding something to make you happy. You can look at anything in the world to find a reason to be happy. It's a matter of being aware and present in the moment, and deciding to celebrate something in life instead of looking for the other aspects and not.
Well, and since Miss Kathy's not here, I think we're going to play a little jingle in gratitude. So, you know, gratitude is definitely something that can help with happiness. So,
love, 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 love. All we need is love and a little thank you. Love, 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 love. All we need is love and a little thank you. Love me, love you, love me and love you. Love, 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 love. All we need is love and a little thank you.
Okay, see, there you go.
That was just right.
Now we're like happy, happy. You know, you can't help but not be happy when you hear that. There you go, there's happiness. And, you know, actually that's one thing that they're saying in this book is that music is such a powerful thing that can automatically put you in a place of that happiness and the joy and helping people to just be in a very positive perspective. So, and I totally agree with that about how music can just really, in just a matter of a few seconds, really help you to shift your mood and really look at things from a different perspective.
I think liking to laugh is good. It makes me happy when I get a good
feeling. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I feel worn out, but it's a good feeling.
Well, you know, and it's just like that, you know, what is that, laughter yoga and all the different things that are really good for that. So it's just, you know, the more we can laugh, and, you know, the thing with Transformation Cafe, too, is about, you know, we're really wanting to keep it light in spirit and light in conversation, and just being able to enjoy our dessert. That was an awesome dessert. You guys did really great. So thanks for recommending that, Miss Gloria. Of course. Of course. That's good. So, okay, guys. Well, I want you to drive safely. It's time for us to pack up. They're ready to clear our table for another group to come on in. So I want to thank you for joining us tonight and thanking all of our listeners. And, again, you can go to all the different information, and Gloria's going to tell you all about that. So we'll talk to you guys next time, and thank you again for coming to the show.
All right. Take care.
Okay, guys.
Good night.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We're so glad you decided to join us.
You make it special, and we're always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by checking out our website, transformation-cafe.com, where all our previous shows are available on demand or here at Blog Talk Radio, Transformation Cafe. If you're interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again, travel well, and we'll see you next time. Good night.